Anonymous is not an affirmative force. It simply reoccupies the space vacated by the light.
This is the Hamilton Corner on American Family Radio.
It should be uncomfortable for a believer to live as a hypocrite.
Delivering people out of the bondage of mainstream media
and the philosophies of this world.
God has called you and me to be his ambassadors, even in this dark moment. Let's not miss our moment.
And now, the Hamilton Corner.
Good evening, everyone. Welcome to the Hamilton Corner. Abraham Hamilton III here. I'm the host of the program, joined by the Corner Contingent. Right across from me, my man, 100 grand, Mr. Bobby Rosa. I had to do a double take because I saw when you came in, you had the Kangol on, and now the Kangol is gone. I said, wait a minute. There it is. Kangol Slim, you understand me? And in the screening room, we have producer extraordinaire, often imitated but never duplicated, the real J Mac. It's Mr. Jeff McIntosh, and he's joined by Richie Rich. Never try to find him in a ditch. If you try to rat, he might call you a snitch. Y'all see y'all wrong with see where your minds went, where'd your minds go? You got a split in your seams and your pants, he might give you a stitch. You need to tow something on your truck, he might lend you his hitch. I could do this all day, folks. I could do it all day. Richie Rich is in the building, y'all. And we're ready to rock and roll with today's edition of the program. At this very moment, many of you, if not most of you, are making your transition from your part-time jobs where you generate an income to your full-time jobs where you cultivate an outcome. And as you do so, I want to remind you to do so with intentionality, understanding the primacy that God places on family and welcoming his view to govern, to guide, and to guard your view and engage from that perspective. You will never regret going the Lord's way. You'll never regret it. You'll never regret it. However, rejecting the Lord's way often is accompanied by massive amounts of regret. One of the purposes we seek to accomplish through this program is to convey the Lord's heart in such a fashion where it can minimize the amount of regret that we endure and enable us to enjoy what the scripture calls or describes as the peaceable fruit of righteousness. The peaceable fruit of righteousness. And endue life from our eternal perspective, from our heavenly abode, from heaven down, with the great glorious hope being what drives our engagement in the here and now, refusing to sever that connection. One of the major reasons why people who describe themselves as Marxists and humanists or atheists, one of the reasons why they so feverishly function the way they do is because they do not have an eternal hope. Their greatest expectation is to try to turn this world into a humanistic utopia. And those of you who have a biblical worldview, you'll see the folly in that immediately, because you're going to have fallen people in a fallen world who are attempting to remedy fallenness with nothing transcendent. As we were discussing yesterday, that hubris that's accompanied with that pride is often blinding hubris, where they can't see the folly. They can't see the folly of, you know, communism having been tried over and over and over again and leading to nothing but death, poverty, and destruction. But yet, hubris says, but you haven't tried communism my way. Try my brand of communism, you see. And then everything will work out. Guys, that is a dangerous hubris. But by God's grace, as we delve into his word and allow his word to form us, you know, often say, I don't merely read the scriptures. I welcome the God of the scriptures to read me through his text so that I may be continually transformed and I grow from doxa to doxa, from glory to glory. And I pray that is the same for each and every one of you. One of the features of engaging in that, the Lord says that he makes wise the simple. He takes us who are simple, and he makes us wise. It's very similar to when the apostles John and Peter were in the Sanhedrin acquitting themselves expertly. That led the Sanhedrin members to say, where did these guys study? And I learned something from my wife, and I'll tell you what it was. When the Sanhedrin members realized, no, they haven't studied anywhere, but these men have been with Jesus. When the scriptures describe them as ignorant and unlearned men, my wife's Spanish Bible describes them as unlettered. It's the Lord who takes the unlettered and make them sound more astute than the most degreed. This is the God we serve, because when you've been with Jesus, that makes all the difference. To the Word of God we go, Hebrews chapter 5. Hebrews chapter 5. This is a portion of scripture that we will continue to revisit because it highlights a feature, highlights a condition that can be a repetitious phenomenon in the professing body of Christ if we are not intentional to identify it and to adjust away from what is there. The Word of God includes things we are to obey, that we are to imitate, and things we are to avoid. This is a portion of scripture that the Lord has included to allow his people to say, nah, I don't want to be like that. Mm-mm, not like that. Hebrews chapter 5, verses 12 through 14. Hebrews chapter 5. This is an epistle that is promulgated to persuade an Hebraic people to recognize that you are no longer waiting for Mashiach. For Yeshua HaMashiach, he has come, and he is Jesus, Yeshua. This is what the text says. For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you have need again for someone to teach you the elementary principles of the oracles of God. And you have come to need milk and not solid food. For everyone who partakes only of milk is not accustomed to the word of righteousness, for he is an infant. But solid food is for the mature, who because of practice, have their senses trained to discern good and evil. One of the major things the scripture is telling us here is that discernment requires exercise. Discernment requires practice. Practice is used here not in the sense of, you know, like a dress rehearsal waiting for the big show. It's not used in the sense of, you know, we're going to do practice and then the game day is another day. No, practice is employed here the way that an attorney practices law, the way that a doctor practices medicine. The term practice is employed here to communicate that there is a ready exercise of this disposition that is intrinsic to the practitioner's position. You see, it's a lawyer who practices law. You can even go to law school, finish law school, but until you pass the bar exam, you are not admitted to the practice of law. Discernment requires practice. This is the antithesis of the world that would say, well, doesn't your Bible say judge not? You're not supposed to judge. No. No, the exact opposite is true. The Lord God of heaven and earth requires me to judge. The distinction between the ignorant attempted bludgeoner with the Bible who would say judge not, and a disciple understands that what Jesus is teaching is that we as his followers, his disciples, we have no authority nor wherewithal to condemn anyone. We are not the judge or the jury that sentences and places anyone in eternal damnation. We do, however, have an obligation to judge. We do however, an obligation to exercise discernment. The discernment muscle requires exercise. I'm stressing this in such a way because I want you to recognize the straight up demonic stratagem to deprive the body of Christ from the exercise of discernment by trying to neutralize us with a misapplication and a decontextualized reference to our scripture. How you going to tell me judge not, fam? The Bible says you don't even believe the Bible. You can't use my text to tell me what I'm supposed to do. You don't even believe the Bible. No, I have an obligation to exercise discernment, and that exercise of discernment starts first with me. But that discernment exercise is not limited to me. But solid food is for the mature. What is one of the indications of maturity here? Who, because of practice, one of the markers of maturity in our faith, the Hebrew writer is explaining, is the consistent, repetitious, and routine exercise of discernment. This is evil. This is good. That is right. That is wrong. This is the way to go. That is not the way to go. Now, what is our metric for doing so? Unlike the Romans 1, professing to be wise became fools world, our metric is right here. Well, my grandmother in New Orleans, she said, it's right here. This is our metric, right here. This is it. I don't have to form an opinion. What I have to do is examine the text. And the God of the text forms me. I have now the express privilege to align myself with what God has revealed. One of the indications of maturity is that, you know, you talk about getting to the gym, looking at Chuck. Y'all see Chuck. You know, Chuck has rhino muscles. You know, you get them jokers on layaway. You know, you got to return them before the expiration date. It's like milk. They're sour after a while. Now I'm playing. Chuck is very, very fit. Chuck has had a routine of exercise for quite some time, decades. Because, you know, he's old, too. They're like, don't tell my secrets. If you look at him, you wouldn't think he was old, though. He does not look as seasoned as he is. Chuck is like, why is man bring them? You walked in. I didn't tell you to come in here. You walked in. But Chuck has tangible evidence of a consistency over time. Remember we was in Arizona? The guy walked up to you at the lunch table. Oh, man, look at all these veins popping out everywhere. You didn't just get those yesterday. You think I remember that? I remember that. And then he looked at me and went, seems like Chuck has been alone in the gym. But he's gotten them with consistent usage over time. To where for him now, it's not like for Chuck, it's not like a strange thing. The gym is a part of his daily routine. This is what discernment should be for the believer. This is a part of our everyday living. This is not some strange thing, some newfangled phenomenon. This is the byproduct of being in Christ. Exercising discernment is what we do. First and foremost for our own well-being, and secondarily for our commitment to be and do what God has called us to. An indication of maturity is exercising discernment with regularity and normalcy. But solid food is for the mature who, because of practice, have their senses trained to discern good and evil. I've referred to it before. I'm going to refer to it again. Charles Spurgeon's description of discernment is not exclusively distinguishing right from wrong, but distinguishing right from almost right. Because the most effective deceptions will always include a twist on a modicum of truth. You cannot have a society of people saying we're a loving people, but their love looks nothing like Jesus. Nothing like Jesus. They reject the God of the Bible, but yet want to graft to themselves certain terms and words and create their own unilateral self-induced standards. And concerning Chuck's rental muscles, he got them 2-for-1 sale, certain big box stores. But I saw the receipt. You got to return them before the expiration date. Guys, discernment requires exercise. The regular exercise of discernment is an indication of spiritual maturity.
Oh. A Discipleship Minute with Joseph Parker.
Psalm 92, beginning at verse 1. It is good to give thanks to the Lord, to sing praises to the Most High. It is good to proclaim your unfailing love in the morning, your faithfulness in the evening, accompanied by a 10-stringed instrument, a harp, and the melody of a lyre. You thrill me, Lord, with all you've done for me. I sing for joy because of what you have done. O Lord, what great works you do, and how deep are your thoughts. Only a simpleton would not know, and only a fool would not understand this. Though the wicked sprout like weeds and evildoers flourish, they will be destroyed forever. But you, O Lord, will be exalted forever. Your enemies, Lord, will surely perish. All evildoers will be scattered. But you have made me as strong as a wild ox.
Shining light into the darkness, this is the Hamilton Corner on American Family Radio.
Welcome back to the Hamilton Corner. Abraham Hamilton III here. I want to remind you that August 7th through the 9th, that will be a Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, we will be at Darbone Church of Christ in Farmerville, Louisiana. Looking forward to being there. Man, we've been there several times in the past. Looking forward to returning to North Louisiana to be there. If you're in the area or willing to come to the area, it was cool. I saw some folks at the Culture Proof Conference who would say, oh, Abe, you coming back to Farmerville? I said, yeah. They said, well, we'll be there. I said, well, I'm looking forward to that. So if you're in the area or willing to come to the area, you are welcome to come to those events. If you've been in the past, you are welcome to bring people with you. There is no charge or anything for it. We're just going to have a time in the Lord together for those 3 days. All right. Speaking of discernment, remember yesterday I told you guys, well, we discussed this horrible, horrible story out of Canada where you have their surrogacy laws and the case where you had this homosexual couple who rented a woman's body to use in vitro fertilization to have a baby. And then the homosexual couple end up suing the woman who bore the child 2 years later after they had the two homosexual men instructed the woman to kill the baby because of a potential cleft palate and cleft lip and a minor heart issue that ultimately ended up being no problem. The baby boy was born healthily in 2024. And 2 years later, the lawsuits all unfold. And I told you guys, this is a story that came from Canada, but you know a lot of those things that happen there end up happening here. And frankly, the surrogacy rent-a-womb phenomenon is happening here in our country. It's happening here. And this, what I'm about to share now, this just unfolded while I was on the air. Obviously, I wasn't scouring social media while I'm on the air, which is why I didn't see it till after I got off. And as soon as I got off the air, I said, see, man, this is what I'm talking about. This is what I'm talking about. This is why I'm saying maturity, an indication of maturity, is the exercise of discernment. I've told you guys many times that you have to plant your feet on the truths of God's word because political machinations and organizations, they will come and go. And as the spirit of the age continues to drift with the Hegelian dialectical process, we re-aired that show again recently because it's happening. It's happening right now to where the positions that, you know, the Republican Party is holding are the positions the Democrat Party used to hold. You see what I'm saying? And many of you have recognized it and even lamented it. Understand yours and mine. I don't mean this as if this is an exclusive phenomenon for those people out there. It includes me, that whatever can be shaken will be shaken, and our allegiances will be tested. As for me and my house, with Joshua 24:15, we will serve the Lord. My commitment is to Christ above political gangbanging, partisanship. Even if I agree with some people in most instances, doesn't mean I agree with them across the board. And the one thing that has become consistently true and is demonstrated over and over and over again, the Democrat Party is insane as a party. And so is the Republican Party in many degrees. It's less insane than the Democrat Party. But the Republican Party is not synonymous with being Christian. That's just the truth. It's just the truth. And we have to be very careful that we don't fall into a mindset that because the Republican Party is not as insane as the Democrat Party. And you know, it's I've been said many times, it's not an issue of right versus left anymore. It's an issue of good versus evil. It's an issue of truth. Truth with a capital T over narrative, as Thomas Sowell would put it. I'm not going to go back. I have a question. I'm not going to go back and redo yesterday's show. But the homosexual men tried to sue the surrogate mom, because there's a question in the chat about it, because she didn't terminate the pregnancy when they tried to exercise a clause of their surrogacy contract that gave them the authority to dictate to the mom whether or not she could carry the baby to full term. So she carried the baby to full term and delivered the baby. And her initial decision to do so was against their will, which they ultimately agreed to do so. But they're suing in Canada, alleging emotional trauma and for pain and suffering. I'm not saying the claim is a legitimate claim or anything like that, but it shows just how insane things get when we reject God's way. Now, I said that these insane things are happening in Canada, and these same things will be tried here in our country. Well, this is one of the things that's become a public trial of allegiances. Is your allegiance going to be to someone you consider to be a friend? Is your allegiance to someone you consider to be a political ally? Or is your allegiance going to be to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords and the truth that is articulated in his word and confirmed in his creation? Where will your allegiances fall? Well, while we were on the air yesterday, Guy Benson, right, who's a homosexual man, and he's also a Fox News pundit, political pundit. He's on TV from time to time. He writes from time to time. And he made a post yesterday, made it public, celebrating the arrival of what he called his, quote, baby girl, end quote. Now, Guy Benson purports to be married to a man. So the very same thing we were talking about yesterday in Canada, Guy Benson and his man friend, whatever you want to call him, did the same thing here in the United States of America. And they are celebrating it publicly. And the same thing happened with the old boy from California. I forgot his name. Bobby, you know exactly who I'm talking about. He's a homosexual commentator. He was to be conservative. He used to be on The Blaze. I'm going to get his name during the break, unless Bobby can pull it up for me. He was talking about he and his quote-unquote partner having a child, and people like me and others are saying, listen, I understand what you're all saying. I celebrate God bringing new life into the world, but when you intentionally deprive a child of a father or a mother, that is not something I can celebrate. That's not something I can celebrate. That's not an occasion to rejoice. So Megan Basham, Dave Rubin, that's his name. I could not remember his name. Dave Rubin, that's his name. So Guy Benson has this thing sharing, you know, he and his man, friend, his partner, whatever, you know, welcoming a baby girl into the world. That they've rented a woman's body in order for this baby girl to come into the world. I don't know everything, you know. I'm not a biologist. But I know baby girls need their moms. You know, my wife and I, we have 4 sons and 2 daughters. I can't tell you the innumerable occurrences when things transpire in our homes. And my oldest is a teenage daughter. How many times there's been circumstances that have arisen where my girls needed their mom. I love my daughters and my daughters love me. I will lay my life down for my daughters. But there are certain things that my baby girls need that they need from mom. And to have this man to loudly proclaim, you know, because technological innovations and such, you know, and we've, as a society, advanced beyond the days of backwoods bigotry, you know, where he can say out loud with his whole chest, yeah, this baby girl's coming to the world and we don't think she needs a mama. We cool with her not having a mama. So Megan Basham, who is a Christian, she just provided a keynote address at my friend and brother, Dr. Cal Beisner's conference in Memphis not too long ago with the Cornwall Alliance. And she responded to Guy Benson's announcement with this quote. This is on social media while we were on the air yesterday. She said, quote, Benson is an incisive pundit, but there's nothing conservative about deliberately creating motherless children. I pray Benson and those like him on the right would consider what they are telling the world about how unnecessary they believe mothers, or if we're talking about two women, fathers, are to the needs of children. Because that is what they're declaring when they treat these children through, I'm sorry, when they, this is what they're declaring when they create these children through the surrogacy process. That mothers and fathers serve no specific purpose, end quote. Meg Basham was exactly right. She's exactly right. But then in response to Megan Basham's post, there's a response from it. If you're watching it, so it's on your screen now. That came from Lisa Kennedy Montgomery. That's her full government name. Her mama called her Lisa Montgomery. Lisa Kennedy Montgomery, that's what I'm going to call her too. But she goes by the one name Kennedy. She's a host on the Fox News channel. And she replies to Megan Basham with a crude joke, which I will not repeat on the air, the crudeness. And I blurted out on your screens if you're watching the show. But she responded to Megan Basham by saying, quote, bless your heart, Megan. While you're at it, go replace the batteries in your, end quote. And I'm not going to say what she said, because that's, so this is what I'm talking about, guys, discernment. So because she's cool with it, Kennedy, and I did a little digging and realized, oh, Kennedy was the officiant at Guy Benson's purported wedding to a man. Kennedy doesn't attempt to engage the argument that Megan Basham is offering. She responds with condescension and a lewd joke indicating a lack of sexual engagement. I'll just leave it there, right? But this is on the so-called right. You see, who are you, Megan Basham, to express your opinion and offer an argument in favor of God's view of the family? We have a better idea, a better way. And this is why I'm saying this is where discernment comes in. If you have a Bible and believe a Bible, you're not coming up with your position on this because Guy Benson made a post. You already know where you stand. But what I want you to see is that if you're going to stand on God's word, you will face opposition from all across the political spectrum. And Kennedy's low rent response really is a combination of, oh, society has moved on, oh, whose morality? Oh, you're a backwoods rube. You must be unfulfilled as a woman in order to have these opinions. Oh, but we'll not engage in the actual argument that Meg Basham offered. I thought ad hominem attacks was the trade of regressives. Oh, it is. Remember, I told you regressivism is a bipartisan institution. So lewdness, crudeness, degradation, and condescension is a feature of regressivism, which is a bipartisan institution. Yesterday, we were talking about what was happening in Canada. Today, we're talking about what's happening right here in our own country. It's grievous that this is where we are, but make no mistake about it, this is where we are, because for too long, we haven't had enough people willing. We've always had some. God has always maintained a remnant. But I want you to notice how over time, as the Hegelian dialectical process has unfolded to where the Republican Party, the GOP as a party, I'm not talking about individual candidates. There are individual people and candidates and office holders that I respect and I appreciate. But the overarching thrust and direction of the party has continued in one direction. This is a part of the reason why, you know, President Trump in his first term was resisted so hard. But in some ways, it's because of an unwillingness to continue to go along with the trend and the shifting of the Overton window and those things continuously, you have those who are attempting to adhere to truth that are marginalized. Do you remember the Tea Party movement and how the Tea Party movement was snuffed out? The Tea Party movement was not defeated by the Democrat Party. The establishment Republican Party snuffed out the Tea Party. I know this is not common knowledge, because the establishmentarians don't want it to be common knowledge. But you have people like Karl Rove working behind the scenes to interrupt and to strip funding from Tea Party candidates. You had Karl Rove and the establishmentarians working together with the Democrats to stop Tea Party candidates all over the country because they wanted to eliminate, dare I say, the impact and the influence of the Tea Party upon the nation and in particular on the Republican Party. Go and do your research. What I am saying to you is that this is another play of that same notion. The establishmentarians, this is how they say it. The establishmentarians can't stand, quote unquote, social conservatives. They find social conservatives to be a hindrance to their agenda, to which I simply would say, well, what is your agenda, my man? Because you call yourself conservative. What exactly are you conserving again? And you can't stand social conservatives, and at the exact same time, you're just as eager to blow the budget as a Democrat party. So what exactly are you conserving? It's almost as if you're using the Republican Party as cover to advance agenda items that are foreign to what we've understood conservatism to be. Can somebody tell me again why the Save America Act hasn't passed yet?
Hello, my name is Andy Miller, and I'm the president of Wesley Biblical Seminary based in Ridgeland, Mississippi. We are developing trusted leaders for faithful churches, and we do that based in the authority of Scripture and in the reality that Christians can be transformed. We do that also through bachelor's, master's, and doctoral degrees. We'd love for you to learn more about Wesley Biblical Seminary at wbs.edu, where we're developing trusted leaders for faithful churches.
Children, of course, are given to parents by God, not to the state. Children don't belong to the state, and we need to make sure that those lines are very clearly protected in increasingly a secularized culture where the government has not only tried to make the church completely irrelevant, but basically replace parents.
Jenna Ellis in the morning, weekdays at 7 Central on American Family Radio.
The Hamilton Quarter podcast and one-minute commentaries are available at AFR.net. Back to the Hamilton Quarter on American Family Radio.
Welcome back to the Hamilton Corner. Abraham Hamilton III here. Man, oh man, oh man. So, I'm going to say this. I alluded to it to yesterday how there's some people who really owe Senator Joseph McCarthy an apology. As he was, I guess, as they say, a little ahead of his time. I don't think so. We've gone from, it's a conspiracy you're talking about, communists coming to America. And now you got the Democratic Socialists of America winning elections in certain portions of the country. Well, this has drawn the ire, and I'm bringing this up because thank God for our First Amendment. The antidote to horrible speech is not censorship, but better speech. So we need to examine bad ideas and articulate why these ideas are bad. That examination should, of course, include sociological examinations, academic study, so on and so forth. But the most important portion of the examination should be examining these ideas in light of what the Word of God says. What does God's Word say? All right. Well, Van Jones is worried. While he will brag, and this is true, that he is one of the early authors of the Green New Deal. Mm-hmm. Kyle Flatulence, that whole deal. Some people may forget, but remember, he was an early member of the Obama administration. And he was deemed to be too radical for the Obama administration. So Barack Hussein politely said, Van, we need you to step back. You helped me to get elected. Now I need you to distance yourself from me. The same way, while it's true that Barack Obama smoked cigarettes like a train, but you never saw a picture of him with cigarettes in his hand. I wonder why that is. Probably the same reason why nobody still to this day is given an account as to what goes on in that mansion in Colorama, just a few blocks down away from the White House. You know, a former president lives down the street from the White House, and that is not interesting to anybody in the media. Jeez, I wonder why, you know. Well, Van Jones is worried because the Marxists who are out front Marxists, unlike him, who was a concealed Marxist for as long as he could be, they've taken over largely the energy, the funding sources of the Democrat Party, and they've demonstrated that they're not afraid to run primary elections against establishment Democrat candidates. We just saw this in New York. In the congressional delegations, the congressional primary elections, and in other places. Well, Van Jones is concerned, and he expresses his concern by raising a particular word. Now, many of you may recall, inspired by one of my favorite presidents, Calvin Coolidge, that I don't refer to people who describe themselves as progressive. I call them regressives. Why? Because as Calvin Coolidge articulated, that there are certain facts that are established and that are transcendent, and I would add that are anchored in biblical truth. And if you move away from them, there is no way you could be moving forward or advancing humanity forward. The only way you could be moving is backwards, hence description that I use to call these people regressives. Well, Van Jones is a little concerned, you know, because the Democrat Party, as he wanted it to be, is one thing. But he's saying these socialists, self-described socialists, they're taking the party in an entirely different direction. Dare I say a regressive one? Listen to and watch clip number five. Go.
I am a progressive Democrat. In other words, everything that's good in our party, I believe in, have believed in for a long time. Do I want universal health care, Medicare for all, whatever you want to call it? Absolutely. If you are sick, you should be able to go see a doctor. That's a good idea. I want free education for everybody as long as they want to keep learning. I think that's a good idea. The Green New Deal, I'm the author of the Green New Deal. The Green New Deal is my phrase from my first book in 2008. There's nobody more committed to criminal justice reform than me, ecological solutions, the whole deal. These are our ideals as progressives. We should fight for them. We need them now more than ever. But what does that have to do with supporting Hamas? What does it have to do with putting up candidates who say we should have no police, no prisons, we can't deport anybody, even if they commit rape or murder, Israel shouldn't exist? These are terrible ideas. These are awful ideas. Where did these ideas even come from? If we want people to join this party, when people come to the party, you want to give them a wonderful punch bowl of wonderful ideas like this. Who is putting the poop in the punch bowl? Bruh. Why are these ideas in our punch bowl? These are regressive ideas.
Yes, Van, they are regressive ideas. Yours are too, though. don't think you're going to Jedi mind trick us away from recognizing that your ideas are regressive too.
Exactly.
And you want to say who put the excrement in the punch bowl? You did. You and your homeboys and your homegirls who all came around and said, we're going to sing a regressive kumbaya all together. Y'all put the excrement in the punch bowl. But here's the thing, because as I said yesterday, hubris is blinding. Hubris is blinding. You didn't recognize when you embraced these people. You talking about you for criminal justice reform? Nah, they like, nah, fam, abolish the prisons. Get rid of them. To which Van Jones said, well, where you going to put all the pedophiles? Oh, so you're going to act like you don't know about that one too, Van. You want to know why? Because there are people on your side, Van, who don't have a problem with pedophiles. That's your people talking about, we need to stop talking about pedophilia and pederasty and describe them as minor attracted persons. Oh, you don't know that, Van? He said, where are we going to put all the Klansmen? Van, you don't know that it's your party who made the Klan popular in the first place? But he's scared, though. He's scared. Because what's happening is the same thing that has happened in places all over the world whenever they've had their proletariat's uprisings. What happens is that the establishmentarians also end up being eaten by the revolutionaries. That's why. And he's scared. That's why he's now trying to draw a line to distinguish himself from these people. But I got bad news for Van. It's too late, my boy. It's too late. You're not going to be able to overcome a lie with a lesser lie. Only the truth will abate the lie. Only the truth will overcome this lie. But what I wanted you to see is even, guys, track the utilization of the verbiage, right? You had the Bull Moose Party historically. You know, you got the Roosevelts. You got Woodrow Wilson. And they kept changing their description, but they never changed their ideals. We're Bull Moose Party. Oh, we're progressives. Oh, no, we're no longer progressives. We're Democrats. We're Democrats. And then from Democrats, now we are once again progressives. Progressing towards what? No. We're not only progressives. We are democratic socialists. These people are saying abolish the prisons. They don't want to reform it. They want to abolish the prisons. They want to abolish ICE. No borders. Who border who what? Medicare for all. What is that? Socialism? But what is socialism? Let's talk. What is it? Socialism, Moses Mordecai Mark Levy told you, oh, it's an intermediary step towards communism. What do the communists want? You know, like in Russia, under communists, Russia, they have a Politburo, you know? Oh, would you look at that? The Democratic Socialists of America just had a National Political Committee meeting last month. They've articulated a platform entitled Workers Deserve More. If you're watching the show, again, to my grandma, Veronica, it's right here. Oh, what are the type of things they propose? Here we go. They amended their platform to, quote, call for the abolition of the office of the president and the Supreme Court to be replaced by an executive and judiciary chosen by and subordinate to Congress. Huh.
New Politburo.
Oh, what do you say it is, Bobby? An American
New
Politburo. What do you call a judiciary and an executive that's subservient and subordinate to Congress? What do you call that? Politburo. That's right. Robin says we're all going to start choking on all the labels and the names. Just because you change your name don't mean you've changed the game. Robin spitting bars. It's absolutely true. But I don't want you to just take this for the comedic value that it is, because I believe these people need to be taken seriously. And they need to be exposed to what they're seeking to accomplish. They're now beginning to say, oh, yeah, we never were Democrats. what they believed in. We just used the Democrat Party because there was the easiest ones to infiltrate and take over. That's what they're saying. And isn't it funny? Remember in 2024 how they tried to, I'm talking about the lying media, to wrap Project 2025 around President Trump's lap, around President Trump's neck, I'm sorry. They would say things like, the mysterious and sinister Project 2025 will overhaul the institutions that protect our freedom, right? Like, for example, like I just told you, the Workers Deserve More platform literally is calling for the direct overhaul of our country's foundational institutions. Get rid of it. That's another one. Listen, boy, y'all are astute. Melody is sharing online. If you want to change the people, change the language. Absolutely right. That comes straight from Antonio Gramsci's prison notebooks. The very concept of politically correct language comes from Gramsci. And one of his mechanisms was to change the verbiage. Weaponize words. You guys are very astute. 2 years ago, The Guardian ran a story. And this story warned that Project 2025 was a quote, dystopian plot that would abolish checks and balances, end quote. That's what they said in The Guardian in 2024. You remember what I just told you that the Democratic Socialists of America wants to do? They want to get rid of the presidency and the judiciary, the whole thing. Get rid of it. Now, you know, I might not be Clarence Thomas, but I can read the Constitution. What is more destructive to the system of checks and balances that we have than if we get rid of a separate and independent executive branch and a separate and independent judiciary? But do you see any screeds from our media saying, warning, warning, the Democratic Socialists of America want to, quote, it is a, quote, dystopian plot that would abolish the checks and balances in our national fabric constitutionally? I haven't seen that. Have y'all seen that story? Hadn't seen that story. Never seen that. Well, let's go further. 2024, Time Magazine wrote that Project 2025 would grant President Trump, quote, absolute power. And that his presidency, if he were to be elected, would constitute the shredding of the U.S. Constitution. Now, here we are. What are we about? 2+ years into President Trump's second term. And amazingly, the Constitution has not been shredded. Isn't that something? In fact, you have a Supreme Court that's ruled against President Trump on numerous fronts. Isn't that amazing? But at the exact same time, you have the Democrat Socialists of America saying, oh, by the way, we want to abolish the Constitution and draft a whole new one. Guys, this is in the document. This is in the document. They're literally saying that we need to, quote, draft a new Constitution and create a Democratic Socialist Republic, end quote. But this is what I want you to evaluate. Have you seen any screech from the lying media bringing the Democratic Socialists of America to task, even after their elections recently across the country, largely in New York and in other places? No, you haven't. You haven't seen that. And this, to my earlier reference to Senator Joseph McCarthy, why haven't you seen this? Why? They were going crazy over Project 2025. They ain't saying much or nothing about this. The Democratic Socialists of America have outlined their agenda for the entire world to see. But the difference is in how Project 2025 was covered and how the Democrat Socialists of America are being covered is very, 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 very telling. Now, here's the thing. President Trump didn't have nothing to do with Project 2025. The Heritage Foundation wrote it, and lots of other conservative organizations around the country contributed to it. My organization contributed to it. But here's the difference. You have members of Congress right now that are members of the Democratic Socialists of America. That's their party. You got a bunch of other newly elected candidates in their primaries who are members of their party. You would think that would beckon increased scrutiny, wouldn't you? Think that? Unless there's some in the media who are cool with the DSA platform.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.